Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad you're here because we've got some awesome listener questions for you today, including a great question about a possible trip to Walt Disney World for the first time, but also comparing that with a Disney cruise, best time to sail. What about the accommodations? Much more coming your way in just a second. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance out of my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that I'm down to 31 days to go until I head down for a quick visit to Coronado Springs Resort. Going to be a quick trip, but always fun. Great to get down to Walt Disney World in the spring. Every time I get a call, a text, or a post to social media, I see that I have some daylight on the horizon, get to some warm weather and some palm trees, and that's always a great thing. You can do the same with these apps and other great Disney apps for your Apple devices. Check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. When you do that online shopping, please just click through our Amazon affiliate link. It does help support the show, helps us pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and more. And even the little purchases do add up over time. And just a sincere thank you to everybody who has been using that link. It really does help support the show. So again, when you do that online shopping, click through our link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1301 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less. Happy Wednesday! You're halfway through the work week. You're going to make it to the weekend, and it is St. Patrick's Day this Saturday, so lots of fun to be had. So wear some green to work on Friday. I guess that's how that works. I work from home now, so I guess I'll have I tell Pam that I now get to have all the themed days. You know, I'm the boss at home now, so like if we want to have a Cardinals day, we have a Cardinals day. If it's wear shorts to work day, that's what it is. So one of the joys I've discovered.
St. Patrick's Day is on Saturday, right?
I know, but it's the last work day before St. Patrick's Day. So Friday, wear your green so you don't get pinched by a coworker. But you know what? Then there'll probably be a lawsuit. So don't pinch anybody.
Exactly.
But that was back in the day when you could get away with that stuff. I guess you can't do that anymore. So no fun. All right. Anyway, we're going to be answering your list of questions, doing this live here on Facebook. Haven't done this in a while. We're glad to be back. So joining me, freshly returned from Central Florida and a big 65th birthday party for her dad, Rick Niblett. Down in Florida, we have Ricky. Ricky, how's it going?
It is going fantastic. I had a very, very nice time at Orlando, at Universal, at Disney. So, it was a really great trip. Definitely.
And she begged me to talk.
Do a lot of new things.
And she begged me to do a whole show on Universal on Friday, and I said no. So that's
denied me. So if y'all want to see that Universal show, send emails to Mike or message him on Facebook or on Twitter, because I'll be happy to talk about my Universal vacation. So I stayed at Cabana Bay, went to Volcano Bay, did some City Walk. So.
Mike will be doing a Universal show pretty soon.
No, I won't. No. But anyway, yeah, you were sitting
Pam
on the dock of the bay.
So I'm just saying.
I don't know. All right. So your dad had a good birthday, though. It sounds like the family together
and
a great time.
We did Blue Man Group for my dad's 65th birthday. That's the thing that my mom surprised him with. So that was fun, too.
That's sweet.
So, Pam, have you done Blue Man?
I have not.
Right.
They do look pretty interesting. I think I'd make, if I shave my head, I'm about the right height. I could probably, you know, if I had any percussion skills, I could probably do that.
Probably. Yeah.
Who knows? All right. Also joining us from the Magic for Less Travel Co-owner over there, we have Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday. Pam, what's going on?
Happy Wednesday. I'm excited to be here. Oh, this is a kitty cat.
Uh-oh.
Because look, wait, behind me. Did you see what's behind me? Fresh from the incredible summer events that are going on now. There, Disney has been pulling us all in and giving us all the scoop on what's going on this summer, and they sent me this lovely display to enhance my ability to promote this summer, right? And go
so
to summer. There's so many things going on at this one is particular for Walt Disney World, and I will show you something else they sent me. Ready?
Again, you're missing out if you're not seeing the video version of this on Wednesday, recording live on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. But Pam has now put to her face, and I've asked for this already, a ViewMaster.
I've already asked for it, too.
I know, we'll begging each other for it.
It's a ViewMaster.
It shows awesome pictures, if only I could show you.
Yeah, that doesn't quite work. I don't think so. I know, neat.
Yeah, this is good radio, though, but it's showing all the fantastic things that are going to be happening at Walt Disney World this summer. Plus, there's stuff happening at Disneyland, which we haven't really even talked about. Hello, Paradise Pier open up. Pixar Fest opening up. So, I mean, within like a week of each other, these two things are going to be opening. And it's awesome. I'm excited about it. So, I mean, hello. As if you need an excuse. I'm just saying. If you need an excuse.
All right. So that's cool. Yeah. I mean, they're excited about it. I think we're all excited about it. Lots of new stuff coming to both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So stay tuned. We got lots to talk about here on the show. So before we do that, we got to get to your listener questions. We're leading off with a question here from the Show Me State. It's from Chris, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, emailing you from Sedalia, Missouri, which is 786 miles from Pam, 744 from Ricky, 160 from Mike, but just 73 miles from both Marceline and Walt's Laugh-O-Gram Studio in Kansas City. He says, though I'm a Mizzou fan, as a staff member at the University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg, I got to say, go Mules, snouts out. And if you didn't know, the mule is like the Missouri state animal or something. I don't know what it is.
I actually didn't know that.
At yeah, it is. It's the something. I know that in Poplar Bluff, where my cousins live in Missouri, that's their high school mascot's the mule. So anyway, as I commute to Warrensburg each day, it's a great feeling to pull up a podcast and share some Disney love with fellow Missourians like Mike and Ricky, former Missourian, right? And Nate and Matt Parrish. A couple of Magical Express related questions. After checking cost of early morning Saturday morning flights for a Walt Disney World trip this summer, we found that we could save nearly $700, $170 each for our family of four, by instead taking a late Friday night flight. So we booked that flight, but had to book a room in a different Disney resort for a single night. Still came out hundreds of dollars ahead, as we call Disney math. As we'll arrive in Orlando International about 12:30 a.m. very early Saturday morning, will the Disney's Magical Express process be any different than during typical travel hours? And after getting to our room at maybe 2 a.m., how will they handle luggage delivery? Are we going to have a knock on our door about 4 a.m.? I sure hope not. We'll only see our checked luggage that morning long enough to clean up and head to the parks, as at that point it will have been transported to the Boardwalk Villas, where we'll spend the rest of our trip. Thanks for all the info you provide both through the show and help out as a Disney travel agent, Chris. All right, Chris, so good and bad news here, which I think is actually really mostly good news. I'm glad that you get to stay an extra night at Walt Disney World, saving some money with that late night Friday night flight. That's always a good deal out of St. Louis as well. The kind of what I said was good and bad with Magical Express is you will need to grab your own luggage at 12:30 a.m. They will not be retrieving your luggage at that point. So when you land, you'll proceed to the luggage collection area there at Orlando International, grab your bags, and you'll keep those with you as you proceed to the Disney's Magical Express check-in. And then they'll throw them on the bottom of the bus. They'll travel with you, and you'll get them as you get off the bus and take those directly to your room, and you'll be set. And that, actually, that's a good thing, because A, you don't have to worry about lost luggage, which rarely happens, but B, you don't have to wait for that knock at 4 a.m. You know, you're done. Your bags are there. You can grab what you need. Pam, have you ever been in that situation where you have to get there late at night and grab your own luggage? Because I had to do that this past summer. We got in about 11:30 at night. It was pretty late.
So I've really, here's my confession time, ready? I've used Magical Express once.
Yes, that's
true. Because we typically, just once, and it was me and Hannah, we typically rent a car, but I always advise guests who are anxious about getting their luggage or who are arriving late, like these guests are, to grab your luggage. It really doesn't take any time. Orlando is really good, at least, you know, the airlines we fly, about getting your luggage out to you. Grab your luggage and take it with you when you go to check in at Magical Express. Then you know it's on the bus with you. You can take it to your resort room if it's time for you to check in, or if your room's not ready, you can just go ahead and leave it with Bell Services. Then you don't have to worry about it. But late at night, you absolutely have to do that. But it isn't much of an inconvenience. Really, it's not. So
It isn't. I mean, actually, it's kind of nice just because you have everything immediately that you may need, because it's always the thing I need is always the thing I'm waiting for to be delivered. I mean, every
and the thing you thought you packed in your carry-on luggage to keep with you. Yes, right. It's at the bottom of your big suitcase
every time. Exactly. Yep. And you're like, oh, come on now. Come on now. And you see the carts, like see, you know, them delivering, you know, luggage up and down Pop Century. You're like, man, that's got to be mine. Nope. They go right past your room. Somebody else. It's like a lottery. All right. Next, Jody's got a question here live on Facebook. So let's get to this one real quick. Jody's from Kansas. What's the best way to check for available fast passes without canceling the ones you already made? We really want a Flights of Passage fast pass. That's hard to say, but there were none available when we booked. So Ricky, I know that you kind of get things, you don't necessarily do them at 60 days, but you always have a good set of fast passes when you go down. So how do you try to go on to improve your fast passes without putting the ones you have currently in jeopardy?
So you can check to see, you know, you can click to, I don't remember what the exact term is. It's basically reschedule, but you're not going to be rescheduling just yet. So you're revising your FastPass or something like that. I know it starts with an R. Anyway, so you'll click that and you'll see like if you can find other times that are available or other attractions that are available. This is when something like Flight of Passage might come up. It could very well come up. It could very well not. You won't be confirming anything or deleting anything until you press the confirm button. So Disney has double checks in place to make sure you're not canceling anything that you don't want to cancel before making that decision. So you're going to be fine. I do it all the time. I play with it all the time. So
yeah, that's what you got to do. Just, they usually give you a safe warning that you're making a change. Disney's good about that before you like finally change something and lose something or modify something. Like, are you sure? You know,
yes.
This is the point of no return. All right. Yes. Next in the live Facebook, we'll go to this one too. John Luke says, hey guys, I'll be running my first Run Disney event and first race in general at the Dark Side Half. So you have about a month. Hopefully that training's going well. My question is, how much time should I set aside from the time I cross the finish line, getting the medals, and then transportation to Animal Kingdom? We want to celebrate Animal Kingdom's 20th anniversary. Thank you. So I can tell you that, okay, so from the time you cross the finish line, you're going to go down the chute, get your medals, get your box. If you're going straight to Animal Kingdom, you could probably be there within 60 to 75 minutes if you're going directly there and not taking a shower or something. But if you're going to go back to your resort, I would say you could be back to your resort within 60 minutes because sometimes the bus lines are long after a Run Disney event. And then however long, once you take a shower and catch your bus to your, you know, probably 30 minutes to catch your bus and 30 minutes to get a shower and get cleaned up. So probably a little bit longer that way. But good luck on that Star Wars race. A lot of fun. And we've got a lot of lizards down there, so watch out for them. All right, back to
apparently the term that I needed was modify.
Modify.
That does not start with an R, so I don't know where the R was coming from.
There's not even an R in the word at all. So
yeah, There's not.
You were so close. Yeah, just so close.
So close. Not even.
All right, next, the title of this one's Plaza Dessert Party ADRs for August of 2018. It's from Mark. I love your show and listen whenever I'm planning a trip to the world or just keeping in the Disney spirit. My next trip to Disney is a land and sea vacation. We will have 5 days at Walt Disney World, then be on the Disney Dream for Labor Day weekend. So here's my question. We want our last night in the world at Magic Kingdom to be a pampered send-off with the Plaza Dessert Party, but ADRs are still not open. Any advice or ideas as to why this is, why this has not yet opened, and when it likely will open for reservations? Thanks for the podcast. Actually, this is from Melissa, not Mark, Melissa. All right, Ricky, so any advice on getting those dessert parties? Because they don't fall the same way the 180 days with everything else.
No, they do not. And that's kind of the thing I think that trips up everybody is that they think that it goes with the 180 days and it does not. Typically, they don't get released until maybe 2-3 months ahead of time. So, you know, start looking about 3 months ahead of time. But I think it's that 2 month ahead of time window when they really start opening up those dining packages for dessert parties and stuff like that.
All right, good stuff. Next question comes from Jessica. She's in Round Rock, Texas, 1,202 miles from Pam. Not 1,200 miles, 1,202 and about another 10,000 feet.
I like that, too. It's that last two that get you.
Oh, every time, especially on a marathon Sunday, man. 24 is a piece of cake. 25 and 26 are no joke. They mess with you. Anyway, Jessica says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Thank you for the magic you share every week. It has inspired me to think about a vacation to Disney World. And the title of this one's Possible First Trip to Disney World. How about that?
Awesome.
The commercials are getting Jessica. I see these commercials all the time now lately. They've got a really good one going on now. It's like all like blurred video, like of the Astro Orbiter and families riding roller coasters. I'm like, oh, love. They're so good at commercials. Anyway, our family of four went on a Disney cruise in 2016, and we loved it. You know what? Jessica might be one of the few people that's done a Disney cruise before a Walt Disney World trip.
I know.
That's very rare.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool, though. We have another one planned for 2018, thanks to Mike. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate that. I have some questions about our very first trip to Disney. One, on a cruise, our room philosophy is just be on the ship. We get a room that fits our family and really only use it as a place to sleep. For the parks, what is a good room philosophy? Like the ship, just some place to sleep, or some place where we can, will, should spend some time? I thought this was a good question. She has three questions. I thought this was a really good one for Pam. So Pam, you know, her idea on the cruise is once you're on the boat, everything's kind of free game. And I kind of feel that way too. But then again, I get a veranda to keep Pam happy, so I can't really say I subscribe to that. I would get an inside if it were up to me, but it's not. It's up to my wife. But what do you say about the place to stay? Is it a crash pad or is it something that should be experienced? You should be there all the time, you know, spend a lot of time there.
I think that it should be a little bit of both, right? And that's not because I'm trying to straddle the answer, but I think it's the absolute truth. I think the issue really is, first of all, consider your comfort. And this is something I mention to people often, but do consider your comfort. If you're in a place that you don't really want to be and you're all kind of on top of each other and it just doesn't have the amenities you want, that may not be the place for you to stay. So consider one of the other resorts. And that's the beauty of a Walt Disney World vacation. You have value, moderate, deluxe, and deluxe villa accommodations. So you have a price point that will hopefully fit most people's budget. Now, of course, it's going to be a little more expensive than staying at home, but I'm pretty much guessing that home isn't as exciting as a Disney vacation. I'm just saying there's a reason why people go on vacation, right? So look into those classifications or those types of accommodations. See if there's one that really fits into what you want. Are you looking for a pool with a slide, or do you value sit-down restaurants, or do you have to have a coffee maker in the room, or are queen beds a non-negotiable? All these things might help you determine what classification of resort that you want to stay in. And then after you've narrowed that down, look at the different resorts and look at the theming at each of the resorts. And if it's something that really appeals to you within that group, then that will help you narrow down your choices again. I mean, Disney resorts are famous for their theming and they're better at it than anyone else. So consider that as well. And finally, one of the other things you'll want to consider is location. Is there going to be a park that you stay at more than others? Are you going to be like, do you have toddlers and you're going to spend it all day, every day at the Magic Kingdom? If so, and the monorail resorts are within your budget, then I'd consider one of those. But yeah, I think it's a great to consider all those things.
Absolutely. So much to think about. I mean, even probably more so than a cruise, because a cruise, basically you're in one of four type of staterooms. You're in an inside, an ocean view, which is, you know, the inside's got the virtual on the bigger ships, the virtual porthole. No windows on the Magic and the Wonder. Then you have the ocean view, which is basically a window or a porthole. Then you got a veranda type stateroom, different varieties of those, and concierge. So you have way more options at Walt Disney World, but that's what makes it fun. So let's get to number two. Here's the second part. This will be the very first trip for everyone. My daughter, who is six, loves all the princesses. My son loves roller coasters and water slides. My husband loves Star Wars, and I love all things classic Disney. Which resorts might be best for a park-heavy first visit? Money is a consideration, but so is my stress level concerning travel times, downtime, and blood sugar levels, i.e. food. All right, so let me jump in on this one and give you two suggestions real quick, and then I'm going to let Ricky give a couple suggestions. First, I would say Pop Century is awesome for everybody in your group. Now, it's not a princess resort, but it's got the nods to Disney. You will love it, Jessica. Lots of classic Disney there. It's got a lot of nostalgia. There are some Star Wars nods in the lobby, in the 70s section, like in the shadow boxes and so forth. Your son would love it. A 9-year-old boy. There's three pools, bowling pin, computer pool, and the hippity dippity pool. Hippity dippity pool. I call it the hippity dippity. That's just one thing I've always done. But it's awesome. I mean, it's high energy. It's right in the center of the resort. And of course, you can walk over to Art of Animation and enjoy that resort's amenities. Not the pools, but you can go over and have the food courts a little bit better over at Art, but both food courts at Pop and Art are very, very good. So I think everybody would be happy there. But if you really want to make your daughter happy, and you, it's kind of in the middle, like Pam said, if you want to splurge a little, you don't have to go to Lux. Port Orleans Riverside and one of the Royal Guest Rooms. Those things are awesome. I think your son would still like it. It's got fireworks in the headboards, themed to Princess Tiana. It's very plush. Sorry, no Star Wars, but it has a sweet water slide at the pool. Your son would love that. Boat service to Disney Springs. And Jessica, you'll be blown away by how beautiful it is. So those are my two suggestions. Ricky, do you have anything else you would offer? Because it's really hard to kind of hit every one of those things, but I think either one of those would make the entire family happy.
Yeah, I was going to suggest Port Orleans Riverside was going to be my suggestion, and I knew you were going to steal it, so.
Sorry.
It's going to be mine. So all right. Thanks for stealing it, Mike.
All right, well, here, I'll give you the third one. This is your last question. The school calendar is our schedule. For a very first visit, what are the pros and cons of going the first week of January versus the first or second week of August? Which would you recommend, a week in August or a week in January? All right, that's Jessica's last part here. So, Ricky, take that one over. First week of January, second or first week of August. Obviously, hot in August, but you're from Texas, yeah. So, I mean, you can handle that. You're a tough Texan there. January can be chilly, but jump into everything else.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing. Like, January does get chilly, as we saw this past January. Yes. We had, like, the cold snap right there, so... Ooh. You know, if you don't want to have anything to do with any cold weather whatsoever, I would definitely choose the August dates. So, the other thing you have to consider is in the January dates, you do have to deal with marathon weekend. It's not, you know, a big deal, but it does bring, you know, a little bit more crowds.
Well, hang on. You got a reminder that if you go marathon weekend, you do have to wear short shorts and sneakers the whole time. I mean, no matter how cold it gets, the short shorts and sneakers, that's how it works.
No. So there's that, you know, in the summer, I feel like, and you'll still be in the summer in that August time period, I feel like you'll have some later park hours too. So, you know, it really kind of, and also in the January time period, you may have some refurbishments to keep in mind too. So I'm just trying to give you all aspects. I think both times are relatively good times to go. It just kind of depends on what you're looking for with your vacation, what kind of things are deal breakers and which aren't.
Yeah. Pam, did we miss anything? I mean, other than, you know, you've got a great likelihood that you're going to enjoy the pool at your resort in August. Now, I'll tell you that we stayed at Beach Club last January, that same week, and, you know, Stormalong Bay, you know, like the whole time for 6 months, I'm like, I'm staying at Beach Club. I'm going to be in that pool every day. I don't care if I'm running the marathons, whatever. Never got in it because there was a glaze of ice on top. I think it was so cold. So
it was cold,
man. So I never got in the pool. So, I mean, that's a consideration because the kids probably want to swim. You're going to Florida. So anything else?
I agree. And I think the crowds are going to be very similar during those weeks, you know, especially as long as it's not over Martin Luther King weekend, because that kind of does increase the crowds a little bit. So that's something to think about. But that the August dates, a lot of schools are winding up and they're going to get back to school if they aren't already in school. So I think you're doing good in terms of picking a date. I just think, you know, so many considerations, and the weather is really going to be a big one during that for you. So think about that.
Yeah, if it were me, I'm an August type person. I know a lot of people don't like the heat, and I complain about the heat when I'm down there because it'd probably be 110 when I'm there.
We
it's
all
just
do.
My luck. I'm like, oh, what am I doing?
You have
it's
to
so
complain
hot.
About the heat.
Exactly.
When
that's what you do.
What do you mean?
But man, I hate being cold. I really do hate being cold, especially at Disney. So I'd rather deal with the heat.
And you're outside all the time at Disney too. So like,
yeah, absolutely.
And once I get cold, like I never
a
get
lot
warm.
Harder to be outside in. I feel like
yeah,
a lot of
I agree.
Times.
Like if I'm cold, like for a while, like even that night, like we could sit by the fire at Wilderness Lodge, but I still have a hard time getting warm until like the next day. It's crazy. I sound like an old man. I must be an old man. I am getting to be an old man.
You are.
Curmudgeony old man.
Trust me, Pam and I would agree.
I know. All right, this is a good one for Pam. Just got back from Coronado Springs. It's from Rachel in the Facebook chat. Hi, pals. I'm heading to Coronado Springs at the end of April. I haven't stayed at this particular resort since construction and refurbs began. We love the Pepper Market and pool. Do you happen to know if the construction has impacted these amenities at the resort? If any of you have stayed since construction began, do you have any other words of wisdom or things I should be prepared for? Thanks so much. And this one, I might be heading down to Coronado Springs here soon. So, Pam, what's the word?
It is, and I've actually stayed there a couple of times since the construction has started, as recently as a week or so ago, and the construction didn't impact the Pepper Market or the pool when we were there. They both were open, both were doing well. They're really just focusing on building this tower that they're going to be putting in, which is going to be really spectacular and add a lot of much, much needed rooms to the beautiful Coronado Springs. But other than that, it really didn't impact us. We could see it going on in the distance. We were still able to access the pool from where we were. Our room was beautiful. If you're lucky enough to get a refurbished room, you're going to be very, very happy. I will just say, I think they've done a fantastic job with that resort and all the resorts that they're renovating at this point in time. So go and enjoy.
So cancel your reservation, or what are you saying? No, go and have fun.
So I was hanging there. Was the answer there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait to be back, because really the dining at Coronado Springs is awesome. I love Pepper Market. Lots of options there, you know, for quick service. And then of course my Maya Grill. As long as you have a couple hours to pay your bill, you're set. You know, like it's awesome. Smooth jazz Mexican food. And then, you know, the paying the bill takes longer than the meal sometimes, but that's the way we roll. All right, Megan's got the next question. Going back to the inbox, trying to be fair here, kind of bouncing all over the place. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Two questions for my upcoming summer trip. Number one, on the app and on the back of my annual pass, it lists the day our annual passes expire. That's such a sad day. It's like, ooh. Can we get into the park on this day? I can't remember this one, like, off the top of my head. It says, okay, say it expires on June 1st. Pam, can you get into the park that day? Does that mean it's over on June 1st, or is it over at the end of the day on June 1st? I can't remember exactly.
I think it's
exactly
over at the end of the day. I'm almost positive, but golly, I try not to cut it that close.
I know. I think that's what, well, you know what? You want to get your value. You're like, tomorrow, I'm just a regular old commoner. But today, I'm still an annual pass holder. I'm getting in that park. I'm going to go to all four of them for the heck of it. That's what I would. Yeah, I think it does include that day. Number two, we have 1.5 days without park tickets, depending on how you answer the question above, at the end of our trip. So there you go. Maybe you only have half a day. Are there any tours you can do without park admission? We're thinking of Disney Springs, pool, and mini golf, but hoping this will be enough for us as we're in the parks as often as possible. We booked pop for this trip to try out the refurbished rooms. Looking forward to it. Thanks for all you do, sending the pixie dust and magic to us every week. Megan is in Raleigh, North Carolina. All right, so Ricky, I know that you got to read the fine print on the tours, but for the most part, they do require park admission, I would say, for a majority of them. But can you think of any off the top of your head where you don't need park admission? I'm trying to think of
some. The first one that I'm going to suggest are the free culinary tours that are Animal Kingdom Lodge. Yes. So there are tours of Boma as well as Jiko, and then there's also a tour of Sanaa. So that's just something. It's free. So all you have to do is go over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and you can do that. As far as tours in general, I'm just going to put this out there. Go check out the Mouse for Less. We have backstage tours and experiences listed on there full out. At least we try to keep them as updated as possible, but Disney changes things all the time. But there are a couple of tours that I think that do include admission. I know the 7-hour tour does. So just keep that in mind. That's the
Backstage Magic tour.
Yeah. So that one does. I mean, granted, I think that they're going to, you know, I don't know if they kick you out after you're done, but you know, they at least let you in to the park with that one. Then let's see. I'm going through the rest of the tours. I do know that there are a few other tours that you can do. There used to be a. Let's see here. There used to be a Cirque du Soleil tour, but you can't do that anymore right now. So
you actually can go up on the stage and do all kinds of flexible dances by yourself right
yes,
now.
Yes, exactly.
Put on a skin suit.
The lunch with the animal with the animal keeper over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That's a good one too. Yes.
Yes, because you get lunch and information.
That's true. Okay, so there's also the Wilderness Back Trail Segway Adventure that happens at Wilderness Lodge,
I believe.
In Fort Wilderness,
yes,
which is awesome. There's the, according to things, the Wanamaya Safari at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think a lot of them happen at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, to be perfectly honest. There's apparently one that And I don't know if it takes place just during like flower and garden time or all the time, but it's called the Floral Experience, which teaches you about flowers. And that thing, floral arrangements.
And after that one, you can get a job in an FTD approved florist. You get your certification.
Let me just tell you. So, and then there's also the learn to surf thing at
Typhoon Lagoon.
Typhoon Lagoon. So, I mean, there are things. There's also for the kids, there's the pirate adventure cruises that take place, which is kind of a fun little activity for the kiddos to get to do, and the fireworks cruises that you can do too. So that's something that you can consider as well.
Good stuff, Ricky. Pulling out the A game. Look at that. Look at that.
I know, right? When I have a second to do some research, I can do research. So.
And we're going
to
do that. That's our 10-year anniversary pledge. We're going to do more research and make the shows even better. And by the way, next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the next Friday, we're celebrating 10 years of the BOGP with lots of memories, so stay tuned for that. One of the things when I first started going to Walt Disney World, you know, they really did on the in-room TV push that surfing at Typhoon Lagoon, which I've never done. Yes. But, like, I've always wanted to do that. I'd kill myself, but, man, that would be fun. They still do that?
Yeah.
They do? I think it's, like, one day a week, like, early in the morning. But, man, that would be so fun.
I think I'd pay money to see you do it, and I'd send Paige to film you.
Dude, so. I'm more coordinated than you think. I used to be a speed skater. I've been on the Flow Rider on the Freedom of the Seas. Now, that was ugly, because that thing is, like, just a death trap. That thing is just the only reason they put that there. It's not for people to surf on it. It's so all the people drinking on the ship can sit around and watch everybody just bite it into the wall. That's all it is. The suckers that get on it are just like, you thought you were going to stand on that sheet of water. It doesn't happen. All right, next question here is from Joe, and I like this one. My buddy down in the ATL, like Ricky, he says, 3 days in the parks for Dark Side Weekend. Family does not have park hoppers. Which park gets left out? Staying at Beach Club. All right, so what park should Joe leave out? Got to go to Magic Kingdom.
I don't want to leave a park out, though. I'm just saying. I don't want to.
Well, I think Joe has an AP, so the family's just out of luck. He can go to all four parks, but the rest of the family, too bad.
So I guess I would do Hollywood Studios, which means you're going to miss, the new attractions and stuff like that. But if I had to miss one, I would lean toward that.
Well, it's next month, so he's next month I think he'd be okay. He's not missing too much.
Yeah, because the rides don't open until the 30th.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that part, that it was next month. I know. So, yeah, I think I would do Hollywood Studios. It's just, I just think it's challenging right now just because there's so much construction going on. But I still love the park, I will just say. I always find enough to do, but... I think that Animal Kingdom is much more of an all-day park now than it used to be. So,
and I got to make sure I say it correct.
Satuli.
Satuli, right? Is that
Satuli.
Right? Satuli. Because I know I've been saying it wrong, and I apologize for that. I'm just a guy from Missouri who knows what the place looks like, but I mispronounce African names sometimes. So, Satuli.
I'm pretty sure that's not African. So,
well, kind of sounds. It's interesting. It's definitely Pandoric. Exotic. Yeah, it's
Pandorian.
But you got to go there anyway for the cheese pods, the cheeseburger pods, and the bowls, the protein bowls. Oh,
They're so good. Yeah.
So good. All right. Elisa in the chat also has a question. Hi, Pam, Mike, and Ricky. What do you all feel is the best lounges, or what are the best lounges to visit at Walt Disney World? We're heading down in 2 weeks for spring break and love relaxing in a lounge a bit. We're staying at the Polynesian. Thank you so much. First of all, of course, at the Polynesian, you got the Tambu Lounge and you have Trader Sam's, two top lounges. But the expert who has a wine rack over her shoulder as we record live here on Facebook, Pam Forrester, what do you say?
I don't know what that says about me.
I know.
Can you repeat the question a little bit? It broke up just a tad. I know we're talking about lounges. That part I got.
She's just going down for spring break in a couple weeks and looking for a couple of, top-rated lounges. They want to spend some time in the lounges.
All right, good. Oh, good. So we did mention that at your resort, Tambu and Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's, I think, is a must stop at. I just think it's fun. That's on everybody's list. And since you're going to be there on the monorail, there's some great ones there. Not as entertaining as Trader Sam's, of course, but you have Misner's, which is there at the Grand Floridian. And it's just really your classic lounge. But one of the reasons why I love that lounge is that they have the band playing right outside there. And it's just so cool, so Grand Floridian, right? We love Artist Point over at the Wilderness Lodge, and you can take a monorail ride over to the Contemporary and then take a boat from the Contemporary over to the Wilderness Lodge. See, I'm even giving you directions, hello, so that you don't have to take any transportation except for Disney transportation. The Artist Point, I think, is a great place not only to grab a drink, but also to have food, because their menu is extensive and it just has some good stuff on it. And you can order stuff from Artist Point, which is a bonus too. So love that. And over at the Yacht Club, Cruise Cup is another place where you can get food and a drink. You're right there next to Yachtsman. So I'm not saying you're not going to be tempted to just like be like, can we just get a steak from the Yachtsman, please? Or like, please, can someone, that guy, he's not eating.
You're knocking on the window.
Yes.
That's right. So anyways, stop there. They have good food and good drinks. But there's really all the deluxe resorts, and most of them are going to have a lounge you can stay in. Oh, one I almost forgot. How could I forget this? Victoria Falls Lounge over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It kind of overlooks Boma. Again, you might have the same issue where you're like, hey, wait, dude, can you throw me up one of those rolls?
Yes.
Or, you know, whatever's down there? A zebra dome. Toss it up in there. But you'll be able to smell all the great food. But it's great people watching and good drinks, too. So lots of good places.
And Cruise Club has a really good cheeseburger, too. Really good cheeseburger.
They do. They have good food. They're actually sharing the kitchen with Ale and Compass. So you have access to kind of food prepared by the same chefs there. So hello, you're getting some good food there.
All right. Whitney Robinson's got another question. Hello, guys. One question. We'll be staying on property at Pop Century the end of April. On our Magic Kingdom day, we have a reservation at Ohana for 9:55 p.m. We would like to be able to take the bus back to the Magic Kingdom that day, but how do we get back to Pop Century afterwards? All right, so I think it sounds like they're going to be there, well, end of April, spring break might be over, if the Magic Kingdom is still open, or if it was, if you're within 90 minutes of park closing, take a boat over to the Magic Kingdom, take a bus to Pop Century. Otherwise, Ricky, is there any other way to get back to Pop other than maybe getting an Uber?
I think the Uber or minivan is going to be your best option besides, yeah, I mean, I think if the Magic Kingdom is open later, you know, that's the only other option.
So. Yeah, 9:55 dinner, you're probably going to get out of there about 11.
Yeah, it depends on what time the park closes, honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, even if the park closes at 10, you'd still be able to probably
make
the
bus. I mean, you'd have to bust it over to... Yeah, but you can
but
make
that's
it.
Those are your options. So you just look at the park hours, and if you can get over there and the buses are still running for Magic Kingdom, you're set. Otherwise, Uber would be simpler because you're going to be so full. You're just going to want to roll into a car and get back. That's me after a big Ohana meal. All right, James has the next question. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. This is for Mike. I ran my first marathon in December of 2016. My wife and I are committed to running the Dopey in 2019. My friends tell me I need to be committed for even trying this. That is right. We are also DVC members and have already booked our room at Old Key West. We're looking forward to this amazing adventure as I'll turn 50 in a few weeks after the run. My question is, do you have any training advice for an experienced dopey runner? What is the best way to train for something like this? I have looked for trainings, but there is nothing to prepare for the 48.9 miles in 4 days. Actually, luckily, it's only 48.6. So forget that last 0.3. You're shooting over there. Thanks so much. I love your podcast on my daily drives. 498 miles from Pittsburgh, 432 from the ATL, 262 from the STL, and only 879 miles from the Magic Kingdom. He is in Evansville, Indiana. Not Ellisville, Missouri. Evansville, Indiana. Okay, so my best advice for Dopey is you're an experienced marathoner. You know what it takes to get to 26.2. I kind of learned this year on my third Dopey. I only trained for the full marathon, and I was totally fine because we're kind of goofing off on the 5, the 10, and the half because you're really saving it for Sunday. I think the biggest advice I have now that I'm 44 years old is in the trainings, don't get hurt. You know, you don't have to overtrain, which is something really horrible for me because I like to get my runs in and be able to eat anything I want and everything like that and maintain. But I would say my biggest advice is train for a full marathon. The other races will fall in. Now, do back-to-back runs as you're going through, say, October, November, and December. Start doing some back-to-backs, you know, longer distances. But train for the marathon, and I think you'll be fine. And just make sure you don't push it so hard that you get injured, because that's the last thing you want is to get injured and not be able to complete the run. Because at that point, you've spent, seven house payments for the race. And so you're going to have lots of shirts and lots of medals, but you want to be able to get out there and have fun. So that's what I would say. Okay, last question of the day coming from Debbie. Hey, BOGP gang, I'm thinking about my next trip to Walt Disney World around February in 2019 for my 45th birthday. This will be an adult-only trip. I'm a DVC member, and I can't book until the seven-month window as the Grand Californian is my home resort. I'm not looking at President's Day holiday weekend as I'm looking for lower crowd levels. Here are my questions. Approximately when are schools typically out for winter breaks outside the Christmas holiday season? Some California schools have something called Ski Week. I know back east, there's a Jersey Week. I know I will never avoid all the crowds, but I want to avoid some of the busy times. Any tips on when I should look to book in February or March 2019? Thanks for all your help and keep up the great work. Debbie's in Dublin, California, 2,234 miles from Pam. So she's way far away from you, Pam.
Yeah, she is.
All right. So what do you say for looking at February and March of next year? What's a good piece of advice there? What do you say?
Is that to me?
Yes, for you, Pam. Because the thing is, like, I can tell you that schools typically in the Midwest, we don't have like a winter. We have Christmas break, like right before Christmas, like between Christmas and New Year's. That's our break. But then we have spring break. We don't typically get like a midwinter break other than like President's Day weekend and we get Martin Luther King weekend. But that's it. So I don't know how it is other parts of the country, but in the Midwest, we don't get one. We don't get a ski week or a Jersey week. We don't get any of that fun stuff.
No, you don't. And that's the other thing. Even things like spring breaks are not 1 week.
No.
They're kind of spread over a big chunk of time. So that's, you know, that's something you have to consider. The other big thing is that there really is no slow time at Disney anymore. And people are always looking for that. And I wish I could give you the magic bullet, right? And say, you know what? If you go February, you know, 18th through the 22nd, you're going to have a slow time. I guarantee it. It's going to be great because it's just really challenging. You know, I think that more people are traveling to Disney than ever before. The beauty of it is what you need, regardless of the date that you go. And this is whether you're going New Year's Eve, like we do, right? It's crazy, or whether you go during a time that it's a little less busy. You just need a good strategy, and that is to make sure that you're on site so you can book those fast passes 60 plus days in advance. That's very important. The other thing is that you need to make sure that you book the fast passes, plan those days in advance, make sure you take advantage of it. And as long as you can do that, then you'll be okay. FastPass Plus has done that for us.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that makes the busiest of days doable nowadays without, you know, too much stress. You might not see 70 attractions in a day, but you know you're going to get some good ones. And then you just fill in with the other stuff. All right, we're going to get a bonus question in here. We're going to go real quick because it's a simple one in the chat, and I want to see what you guys say. It's from, it looks like, Elise Ford. Hey, guys, Garden Grill for breakfast or for dinner? I like the idea of pre-park opening breakfast. You can't do that. That's what we always do. We've been doing that for 10 years. I like the pre-park opening breakfast, but the supper also looks delicious. I've never done either. This is killing me because, like, I saw this in the chat. I'm like, I don't know because it's both so stinking good because I love both of them. Garden Grill is so – we got to quit doing this at dinner time when I'm starving. All right, Ricky, so you only get to pick one. Really, we cannot give both. I know we want to all give – do both. You got to pick one, dinner or breakfast for Garden Grill. Which do you take?
Which one, Pam?
I'm going, oh golly, breakfast. I'm going breakfast because it's just kind of a fun way to start the day. And you know what? I'd schedule it like the latest breakfast I could get. So I'd grab a little snack in my room, hit the stuff at Epcot, and then hit the latest breakfast I could get.
That is a good tip. What do you say, Ricky?
Okay, so the last meal I had at Garden Grill was dinner, and I have to say it is one of the best dinners.
Yes, it
like,
is. Yes,
Brian
it
and
is.
I had an amazing dinner, and like I don't even like sausage, and there was sausage on the menu, and I ate it, and like I almost asked for more because it was so good. I think I'm gonna go with dinner, but man, breakfast is good too. So, but dinner is gonna be my if I only have to pick one.
Yeah, I would say, and I'm with Joe. Joe just said it here in the chat. I love the breakfast. The breakfast is amazing. I like getting into the park early if you want to do that and see the rides and then, you know, go for a late breakfast or kind of go vice versa, have your breakfast early. But dinner is amazing, like Ricky said, and they have really good desserts with that dinner. Oh, so good. So either way, you're going to have a good time at Garden Grill, one of the best places to eat in Epcot. I know people don't think about that because you think about World Showcase, but it's underrated. And you get to spin around while you're eating your dinner. Not fast. It's not like Tom's Twister or anything, but you get to see the sights, and you don't have to even move. It moves for you. So there you go. All right.
Good character interaction, too.
Oh, yeah. Characters. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. You got Pluto and Mickey swinging by and a few others. Is it chipping now?
I like George's smart aleck comment of how I'm not up early enough for breakfast.
You're doing better. It took you 10 years, but you're getting there. You're getting
it's
there.
It's a good breakfast, yes.
All right. So let's wrap this one up and remind you that today's episode has been brought to you by VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, and Ricky is scrambling to check out the blog right now, as I can see on video. That's how this works when we're on video. But, you know, this is a great free app for all iOS devices where you can keep up with the news, not only at the Disney parks, but the Disney company as a whole. So, Ricky, what are we reading about this week?
Okay, so we are reading about the fact that they're beginning April 13th for a limited time. There is going to be an immersive children's experience at Disney's Contemporary Resort that will entertain kids with playful character experiences, features captivating programming, character interactions, as well as dining. Youngsters can take part in the Space Ranger Training, Woody's Roundup, the Piston Cup Challenge, and the Incredible Dance Party. Guests will be able to meet Toy Story characters and Incredibles characters too. And the experience is $65 plus tax per child, and dinner is included. The Game Station Arcade has closed to make way for this. So I'm going to say that this is probably going to be sticking around, all things considered. I mean, if they're closing the arcade, and I'm going to guess, you know, doing a little bit of work on there to get out all the games and, you know, make this a space for the children's experience, I'm going to say that this is probably going to stick around, but that's just my guess.
Wait,
so.
you did what in your cup?
What? Shush!
Do I make a good mater? That was pretty good. I was waiting for the chat. I beat the chat room to that because I knew somebody was going to say that. Now it sounds like a cool experience. That's fun. So there you go. Read these and other great stories for what's happening down at Walt Disney World. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Pick it up today over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, also, we have our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. Anytime you do that online shopping, please do click through the link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All the little purchases kind of all combined together, and it helps out the show. So again, when you do that online shopping, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so much for doing that. Don't forget also, Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 5 is booking now. We got lots of folks, even folks in the chat room right now, who are setting sail with us on June 28th of 2019. 5-night Bahamian cruise, not one stop. We're going to Castaway Key twice, 2 times, and we're going to have 2 5Ks. You don't have to run them, but you may have to. We'll see. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Just think, Cookies 2 twice. That's like Cookies 4. Because I'll be parked right there. That's my favorite place to eat, people. Cookies. So if you want a quote, you want to get on the ship with us and have a great time on the Disney Dream, just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no-obligation quote, put BOGP Cruise 5, it'll get right to us, and we'll get you a quote right away. And we'll get you on that ship. It's going to be so much fun. So I'm just telling you, cruising is awesome by yourself. Way better with friends. So check it out over at themagicforless.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike, Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast for all this fun nonsense we broadcast live and keep you up to date with all the latest on the podcast and Walt Disney World. All right, that's going to do it for Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday, where if you were hungry today, you're going to be hungry again on Friday, because we're talking about a great restaurant at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. So I'm not going to tell you which one. You have to come back to find out. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.